Philippians chapter 1, resuming our study at verse, we'll resume it at verse 20. We cut in the middle of verse 20, so we'll start up from verse 20. So here's how far we've gotten so far. According to my earnest expectation and absolute confidence, I'm giving you the corrected translation, the word hope here. And the English word hope is not a good translation for elpis. Elpis means absolute confidence. In the English, hope is kind of like, I hope so, which means you don't know if it's going to happen or not. That's not here for Paul's mind. He knows that I will not be put to shame in anything, but that with all boldness, and the word for boldness here is parahesia, which is P-A-R-R-H-E-S-I-A, and the correct translation really is freedom in speaking. That's what he's really excited about, is freedom in speaking is what that word means. I don't know why they translated that in all boldness, but it's freedom of speaking, because that's what Paul's all about. I mean, he's speaking, he's teaching Bible classes every day, and he's writing these letters. Now, we have the four letters that he wrote here. We don't know if he wrote any other letters. I'm sure he did. He's a prolific writer, and he wrote a lot of different letters, but these are the letters that God the Holy Spirit included in our Word, in the Word of God. We know for a fact that he wrote other letters because he mentions other letters in Corinthians. He said, you get my other letter. He said, I got your letter, and here's answers to it. But we don't have all the letters that he wrote. But we have the letters that God the Holy Spirit wants us to have, and that's all we need to know. So he says, with all boldness, which means freedom of speaking, say whatever you want to say. And of course, in our country today, in 2021, many people self-censor themselves because they're afraid of what other people will think. Even just common sense stuff. Like if you would stand up and say there are two sexes, people wouldn't even say that. It's science. But it's very Orwellian, extremely Orwellian today. People want to identify with this or that. The other thing, well, that's fine, but you can call yourself Napoleon all you want to. But you're not. So I just kind of smile at them. But yeah, it's called science. And it's amazing how they use that word science when it suits them. Or when it doesn't, they just ignore it. And even the scientists are afraid to say anything. In biology classes, they're afraid to say anything. It's, you know, it's just reality. But they shake their fist at reality. And of course, when you reject Bible doctrine, you've got to suck something into your soul. Your soul breathes. It's a breathing mechanism. You're going to suck in Bible doctrine. You're going to suck in mataiotes, is the Greek word. Basically, it means confusion. Just garbage. So you're going to suck in garbage, which what comes out when you suck in garbage? Garbage in, garbage out. Bible doctrine, you suck in Bible doctrine, and hopefully you'll push out Bible doctrine. But it's a strange time. So here, that's just a side note commentary, but he says, with all boldness, freedom of speaking, comma, Christ, and that word is Christos, which is the Hebrew word. The Hebrew word is Messiah. They're exact equivalents. It means the anointed one. And this stands for Jesus Christ the Savior. Christ will even now, as always, be exalted in my body. And that means that word for body is soma. And this refers to what? Well, he's alive. He's alive. When you're dead, you're not going to be able to, you know, that's it. You're locked and loaded in terms of where you will be evaluated at the judgment seat of Christ. There's no purgatory. There's no extra chances to get on up there and get moving. That's it. When you die, game over. Whatever spiritual level you have reached at the highest level of your life, that's what you will be rewarded at. Now, the grace of God, suppose you reached a high spiritual level at the age of 35 and then went downhill, and you died at 105. At what level will you be rewarded? You won't be rewarded at the level of 105. You're rewarded at 35. The highest point you got, that's where you will be rewarded in terms of your rewards. Because there are people, there are examples of that. Saul, for example, he was positive to Bible doctrine when he was younger, and then he just turned against it, and he never went back. He rebounded a lot, but he didn't do step two. Once you rebound, you've got to commit to learning Bible doctrine. Rebound doesn't put Bible doctrine in your brain. It just puts you back in a fellowship relationship. And you know the story with Saul. Every time he tried to kill David, he would realize that he shouldn't be doing this. He'd rebound. Then 5 minutes later, he's trying to kill him again. So, but he will be rewarded, whatever his highest levels was, And I don't know what age that was, but that's the level that he will be rewarded at. So if you decide to coast for the rest of your life, well, you'll get that level wherever you got to. And the rest of your life, you'll have a miserable life and die and go to heaven. And you'll stand before the judgment seat of Christ. So Paul knows this. He knows that fact. That's grace. Now, a lot of legalists, they would say, oh, no, Saul's not going to get rewarded. He'll get nothing. No, that's not grace. Now, I understand that's what you would do, but that's not how grace works. So you can start out very positive to the doctrine, turn against it, you'll be rewarded at the highest level. So if you got the level, let's just say you got the level of being a sophomore, and then you went into reversionism and died the sin unto death, you'll be rewarded at the level of a sophomore. So he says, Christ will even now, as always, be exalted in my body, whether by life, Zoe, Z-O-E, and that's you're alive and your soma and your body, or by death, and that word is thanatos, and here it means your physical death, your physical death. So Paul knows that he will not be, he says, according to my earnest expectation and confidence. So Paul knows that I'm not going to do what I did before. I'm going to stay positive to Bible doctrine. I'm going to keep pushing. I learned my lesson. And of course, he's got 4 years in jail to think about what he did. But during those four long years, God turns cursing into blessing. As I said many times, we got these four letters. And Paul understands that. He understands that he is not getting suffering for discipline anymore. He's getting suffering for blessing. Because he's already rebounded, and he's back doing what he's supposed to do, doing the will of God for his life. And so you might say, well, Paul's very arrogant. He thinks he's not going to fall again. Well, people that are grace-oriented, oftentimes they say they're arrogant. You might even hear this. If someone says, are you going to heaven? You say, you're damn right I'm going to heaven. How could you be so arrogant? Well, because God says I am. It's not arrogance. You must have humility. Why? They think humility is being, a sponge or somebody can kick you and you're humble. That's not humility. That's false humility. So yeah, if you're confident in your expectation. So if your expectation is that I'm going to reach four-star generalship, you will. Because that's what God wants you to do. And he will keep you alive long enough. And of course, you're going to screw up, as we all do from time to time. But you got the tools to recover, rebound. That's why David was the, in the English we translate it as the apple of my eye. Actually, the literal translation is the pupil of my eye. And why? Well, because he also had that confident expectation. And he had a sin nature that he gave into a lot. I mean, his sin nature caused him to murder. And to commit adultery and to lie and all sorts of stuff and to blaspheme. I mean, all sorts of bizarre things. Feign insanity at one point, drool stuff in his beard and grovel around before his enemies. But he rebounded a lot and he kept moving. And that's what Paul knows. He knows he's a loser, but he says, look, I've got a confident expectation and absolute hope that I will not be put to shame in anything. I'm not going to be put to shame. I'm still alive, and God has a purpose for my life, and I'm going to go full speed ahead. Whatever happens, happens. But with all boldness, freedom of speaking, Christ will even now, as always, that's interesting, because as always includes his screw-ups, because he realizes that as long as he, is alive, God has a purpose for his life. So the always includes the part where Paul screwed up. And we have studied some of the screw-ups Paul has made. The biggest one, of course, was when he wrote Romans, he was instructed to go to Rome, and he didn't. But he had other screw-ups that the Bible reveals. One of them that it reveals is he turned against John Mark, didn't treat him in grace. And he realized later on that was wrong. So, yeah, he was a human just like all of us. And some of his blemishes are written here in the Word of God for our instruction. So all, as always, includes everything, because he knows that God knew all about me a long time ago, and he knew that I would be pistos, P-I-S-T-O-S, faithful to the word, and I'd keep plugging along, and that's all you got to provide. That's all we have to provide, just positive volition, and God will do the rest, and that's what he's talking about. It's not that he's arrogant. He's not arrogant at all. He's just confident because God cannot lie. And God wants me to be at the highest levels. I want to be at the highest levels. and I'm going to do it. That's what he's saying. And so that God will be exalted in my body. This is his life on the earth. That's what he's meaning. Because you don't have a soma when you die. When you die, your soma don't follow you. It disintegrates. So you might want to tell your loved ones, do you want to be burned or do you want to be buried? Really doesn't matter. You're going to go back into the elements. You'll never see this body again. So that's what he refers to here, the body. Why, he's still alive. And he's still alive. He's still got time on the game clock. He doesn't know how much time, but he knows that while Christ is going to be exalted, I'm going to do what I'm supposed to do. Whether by life, in other words, I'm alive right now, or by death, dying grace, God is glorified. It says that the precious in his sight are his loved ones, which are us. Our death is precious in his sight. And so Paul realizes that. That's the doctrine of death in your book. He realizes that. So that's what he means. So we're going to spend a little bit of time looking at the word shame that we defined a little earlier, because this refers to what? That he won't be put to shame. Well, it refers to the judgment seat of Christ. I'm going to go to 2 Timothy 2:15, which we've already cited. If you want to flip over there with me, it's going to be after Philippians. I'm heading the wrong way. I'm going to have to head to the right. Colossians, Thessalonians, there we go. 2 Timothy 2:15. If you hit Hebrews, you need to back up. You hit Titus, you need to back up. 2 Timothy 2:15. He says, be diligent. And we're going to take time to exegete this, but be diligent. That means be constantly aware of yourself. And this, of course, is reflected in what he told the Corinthians. If you judge yourself, I won't have to judge you. This is what God is speaking. Keep short accounts. Be diligent, because you are the gatekeeper to whether you're in fellowship or not in fellowship. And you have to evaluate yourself constantly. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God as a workman who does not need to be ashamed. That's the word. Accurately handling the word of truth. And so when we do our Bible class, of course, you'll notice that my translation is different than the New American Standard Version, because I'm doing the Old English, the King James. That's what I was brought up on. So when we cite this before we begin Bible class, this is that passage. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God. Well, where do you present yourself? Well, that's at the judgment seat of Christ. And you're a workman. We're all workmen. What are we working on? Workmen, you drive by here in San Antonio, you see five people sitting around an orange cone, drinking coffee and eating donuts. You go, how come they're not fixing the road? Well, you know, that's not the type of workmen that we want to be. These are people that are doing their duty. So you're being diligent, you're working. What are you working on? Well, you're working to get yourself to spiritual maturity. That's what you're working on. That's what God is working on to help you do that as well. He's made those provisions in the eternity past. So we're workmen, and we're going to present ourselves to God at some point as a workman who does not need to be ashamed. And how do you do that? Well, you're accurately handling the word of truth. What is the word of truth? Bible doctrine. So you got to know it before you can apply it. And if I had time, I'd draw up the eight R's again, you know? So the eight R's is you have Bible doctrine retained in your soul. You get tested, and you pass the test. And that builds up towards your rewards. And you will not be ashamed. You will not be ashamed. So it says you don't have to be ashamed. But there are a lot of people at the judgment seat of Christ that will be ashamed. So 1 Corinthians 2, 9-10. Let's go to that. 1 Corinthians 2, 9-10. And you just need to back up. If you hit Romans, you've gone too far. And you're going to hit 1 Corinthians 2, 9-10. 1 Corinthians 2, 9-10. These are just a sampling of the many verses that talk about the judgment seat of Christ. And this is what you will receive if you're a workman that is not ashamed at the judgment seat of Christ. 1 Corinthians 2, 9 to 10. 1 Corinthians 2, 9 to 10. And it says, but just as it is written, And of course, this goes back to Isaiah. But just as it is written, and the word of God cannot change, God cannot change. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. It's unalterable. Just as it is written, things which eye has not seen and ear has not heard. So these are things beyond human comprehension. Our brains cannot understand what we're about to see right now. So our brain can't understand it. Eye has not seen, no eye has seen it, no ear has heard it, and which have not entered the heart of man. These are things that you can't even think about, let alone see or hear. It's so far beyond human comprehension what's on the other side for those that are positive to Bible doctrine. You can't even entertain the thought in your brain. The word heart, cardia, means your brain. What? What is this thing? All that God has prepared. God prepared these in eternity past for you. This stuff's already been set up a long time ago, Ephesians chapter 1, before the foundation of the world. He put all your rewards in a bank account. All there. For those who love him. And the word love here means to love dearly. It's not the impersonal technical use of agape. It's the normal use of the word. Now, who loves God? Well, you can't love what you don't know, as I've said many, many times. The people that love God, they listen to Bible doctrine. They're a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. I'm working on Bible doctrine. I think Frankie Valli had a song called I'm Working My Way Back to You. Yeah, well, that's what we're doing. Frankie Valli screwed up and his girlfriend is trying to work my way back to you, babe. Frankie's still alive, by the way, if you still want to hear him. He still does concerts. I think he's 80-something. Kind of does concerts. We went to one of his concerts, and he has enough energy for maybe two songs. But he's got about four or five other people that are males that are singing along with him that sound just like him. And, yeah. But, you know, God bless him. He's still out there. So that's what we're doing. We're workmen. And we're working our way. We don't have to, you know, that's what Paul, I guess, is doing, working my way back. When he wrote Philippians, he went down. Yeah, he was almost under the sin unto death. So he was at a certain level of maturity, and he got knocked down a couple of notches. But he's working his way back up the ladder. And by the time the ink is dried on Philippians, he's exceeded where he was before this all happened. Because remember, how do you grow? How do you grow? How do you get to the next level? Oh, divine suffering. That's how you grow. Just like the gym. You're not going to get muscles by sitting there. Oh, you can drink a lot of these energy drinks and stuff. It'll just make you bloat up like Jabba the Hutt. That's not going to put muscles on you. You want to get the muscles, you got to put a little pain in there. Now, there's a certain point when you get older, you can't do the gym anymore because your joints hurt so much you can't even pick up 2 pounds, let alone 30 pounds. So if you're going to do it, now's the time to do it for you youngsters in here. Because at a certain point, we just got to cruise on what we got. But that's what Paul is doing. He says, look, God's prepared these things. This passage has a tremendous amount of Bible doctrine in it. So a lot of people like to speculate, what do you think heaven's like? I don't engage in that because I just cite this passage. Why even engage in it? We have language of accommodation, of course, for the rewards. And that's in your book. You know, the crowns, the cities, the uniform of glory. That's just language of accommodation. It doesn't begin to scratch the surface of what it really is. Of what it really is. And it should cause you to have little... When you do Thanksgiving, that's what you can be thankful about. It's already there. He's already done it. And of course, you can anticipate what you will have in eternity right now. I'll give you a bit of good news that you probably haven't thought about before, but maybe you have. So on the board, I'm drawing our own diagram. Remember that thing? So we got two sides to this. I'm drawing a square with a line down the middle. On the left side of the square, we've got rewards for time. That's why Paul says, in my body. And then you've got rewards for eternity, right? So we could all fill in the blank if I said, what rewards in time would you like? And we'd all come up with pretty much the same stuff, right? I would like a nice, I'd like money. Who doesn't want money? Everybody wants money, right? And what else would you like? Well, I'd like a great hobby. Some people get a tremendous amount of enjoyment with their hobbies. I do. Otherwise, why have a hobby? If you don't like it, it wouldn't be a hobby. Friends? We'll put, you know, a nice spouse. They're not going to be a perfect spouse, folks. Be just a nice spouse. Because you're living with a person that has an old sin nature. But you can achieve great happiness with a spouse that God's designed for you. What else? Health. Oops. You like a lot of health. Yeah, that's good. Long life. I mean, you could have health and die at 25. Be very healthy when you die. What else you want? Well, let's see. I don't know. I think that's the big ones. Anybody think of anything else you'd like?
A good job.
Oh, the job. That's right. That's right. Like a great job. And recognition by society. People like approbation. You know? So, yeah, those are all good things. You want recognition. So, yeah, we all write these things down here. Eternity, we can't even think about it. I just quoted the verse, so don't even, you know, we can put in the language of accommodation, right? It's just going to be beyond your comprehension. It's like trying to teach physics to a dog. It's just not going to happen. So, whatever that is, it's above and beyond our imagination. So, if you have these things in your life right now, and you enjoy them, you can appreciate them, and you're a born-again believer, this is a fortiori. If you say, you know, I'm hooked up, I got all this stuff, a fortiori, you will have this in eternity. You will have fantastic rewards in eternity. But if you have all these things, you're still miserable, then yeah, you're not doing it. Because God will give these things to many believers, and they're miserable. They're absolutely miserable with all those things they've got. Solomon, for example, because God has a great sense of humor. But if you have these things and you enjoy them, and you're getting a lot of pleasure out of these things, then what does that tell you? Well, you're getting blessings in time. And we know that these blessings in time are released to you by God the Father. Well, God, they're put in the escrow by God the Father. They're released to you by Jesus Christ. And you've enjoyed them in your life. And a fortiori, if I've got them and I enjoy them and I know where they came from, then that means I'm getting some stuff over here on the other side. So you don't have to do, aw, shucks, I'm not going to get anything at the judgment seat of Christ. Yeah, you are. And that's what Paul says. He's not doing the aw, shucks. Now, what did Paul have? Well, he had some tremendous friends. He had the hobby. He didn't have the spouse. He had health problems, but generally had some health problems. He was doing the job he loved. He absolutely loved what he was doing. Recognition, well, he had that. Everybody knew who Paul was. And Paul was not from a poor family. He graduated from the University of Tarsus. His father, as far as status, his father was a Roman citizen. So Paul, you know, could pick out some of these things we have, and all of us might say, well, I don't have all of them, but I got this, that, and that, and the other thing. That's true. It's not necessary to have each and every one of them, but Paul had these things. So that's why he has, one of the reasons he has the confident expectation that I am going to get a lot of rewards. And he wasn't being arrogant. He just believed the word of God. So if you have these things and you are thankful for these things, that's my caveat to you, you're going to be blessed beyond your imagination. I don't know what level you're going to be blessed, but I know you're going to be blessed, all of you. Same here. I know I'm getting something. I just don't know where it's going to end up. I mean, I might get the gold leaf, the silver leaf. I don't know the language accommodation, but I'm going to get something because I can identify I couldn't ask for anything more. I've got everything. My tombstone is going to look great. I got so many degrees, I can't even think of them all. So many different titles. You chisel that up. I'm going to do it on the back of the tombstone. But what does it really mean? Well, I realize that God gave me this stuff. God can take it away. Well, didn't you study and go to school? Yeah, we know the real drill here. If I got what I deserved, I'd be incinerated. God just makes you, lets you think that you're doing that. I just did my duty. You know, I studied half-ass, I guess, from time to time. But, you know, God hooks you up. And some people are, of course, more studious than others. I'm just not a very studious person. But I'm a plugger, and I had different things, and you can identify the same things in your life. If you really got what you deserve. Now, arrogant people, they think they did it all by themselves. No, you didn't. No, you didn't. Wherever you are, there are other humans, in my case there, that assisted you along the way. And, of course, arrogant people never recognize that. I did it all by myself. No, you didn't. Who gave you the health? Who gave you the money? Who gave you the clothes? Who gave you the gasoline? Who gave you all those other things to do what you think you did? Who gave you the brains? Now, some people have low IQs, but they're going to be very well rewarded in eternity. Because your spiritual IQ, you can pick. You can choose your spiritual IQ. You cannot choose your human IQ. And yes, there are some people that are dumb as rocks. And some people are very smart. But that's no guarantee for the spiritual IQ. Dummies will have more rewards than many smart people. In fact, many smart people are going to hell because their intellect keeps them from, well, their negative volition. They just use their intellect as a crutch. And their negative volition is always at the heart of everything. So other passages that you could look at in terms of rewards, Old Testament, Psalm 62:12. You know, you're going to be rewarded. You're going to be evaluated, Matthew 16:27. 1 John 2:28. 2 John 8. I'm going to go to 2 John real quick. 2 John 8 says, watch yourselves. Ah, Paul just said the same thing, right? Be diligent. Be diligent. Diligent. Watch yourselves. 2 John 8. That you do not lose what we have accomplished, but that you may receive a full reward. So watch yourselves. This is a letter written by John, the last of the apostles, probably written when he's in his 80s. Remember, he's writing this from his headquarters in Ephesus. Ephesus was really the center of gravity for the Roman Empire in terms of positive volition for Christians. It wasn't Jerusalem. It was Ephesus. Paul had his headquarters at Ephesus. Timothy, after Paul, had his headquarters at Ephesus. And John, after Timothy, had his headquarters at Ephesus. Ephesus, of course, is a major city in Asia Minor, as the Romans called it. And that's where the influence, that's called blessing by association. That's why the Roman Empire was so greatly blessed during what we call the period of the Antonine Caesars. And that was a period that lasted for almost 100 years. Wonderful blessing to the Roman Empire. Why? Because of the pivot. The large number of mature believers in the Roman Empire blessed the rest of the knuckleheads. That's why this country has survived so long, because we've had a pivot of positive believers that have carried the rest of the dead weight on our shoulders. And so if you really want to help the country, yeah, I encourage you to, you know, go out and vote and do all those wonderful things. The best way you can be a patriot for your country, besides waving the American flag outside your house, is to reach spiritual maturity, because that's why God blesses the nation. And there's no other reason that we are still here, because with the morons we've got in control of our government and the idiots that are being turned out of the universities by the thousands and tens of thousands by the morons that are teaching them, there's nothing but the grace of God and the pivot that's keeping us afloat. And these people are absolutely disoriented to reality. They reject the divine institutions, all four of them. They hate them. These aren't believers. Well, some of them are believers, actually, that reject the divine institutions. And you turn against the divine institutions, and your nation will not survive. Will not survive. And so the only reason we're still hanging on is because of the pivot of mature believers. So 2 John 8, watch yourselves. That's it. I mean, that's what we've got to do all our life, because it's a constant battle between our old sin nature and the Holy Spirit, who controls your life. Watch yourselves, that you do not lose what we have accomplished. So he's writing to the believers. Who's the we? Well, as the apostle John, the apostles had absolute authority over all the pastor teachers. And he had his own seminary that he was training pastor teachers. In fact, we have letters called the Church Fathers that reach back to John and back to the people that John taught. So that's what he did. So the we is the pastor teachers that are putting out Bible doctrine, because that's how you grow. And so these people have grown up to some level of spiritual maturity. So he says, watch yourselves, you do not lose what we have accomplished. What have they accomplished? Well, we taught you the Bible doctrine, that you may receive a full reward. In other words, you get it all, because God has a full reward in here. I'm drawing the word full reward in the box of eternity. Your reward is full right there. God doesn't say, well, you know, that person, I just need to fill this thing up about 10%. That's all they're going to get. Uh-uh. He has filled up every believer's account to the brim. So if it's, everybody gets $1 trillion, whatever it is, language accommodation, we all have $1 trillion. But the vast majority of believers won't get a penny out of here. Not a penny. Nothing. The vast majority. They will stand before the judgment seat of Christ and they will be ashamed because they didn't do what they're supposed to do. They were not a workman. They were working all right, but they were working for Satan and his kingdom. They weren't working for God's will for their life. So, of course, all these losers, we call them loser believers. You can't lose your salvation, but they're losers. They can go to the Hall of Records and look at that full reward as it shines out to them, and they got nothing. And, of course, when will they realize this? They're not realizing it right now. All believers in the church age that are dead, they're in heaven, the third heaven, but they're not ashamed. There is no division. There's no, the Bema, it's called the judgment seat, B-E-N-A, has not occurred yet. Jesus Christ will sit on that Bema because God the Father has delegated to him the authority to do the judging. God the Father has the authority to judge. He's delegated it to Jesus Christ in two categories, one for believers and two for the unbelievers. The unbelievers, Jesus will sit at what's called the Great White Throne Judgment, Revelation chapter 20, unbelievers only. You will stand at the judgment seat of Christ, and you can look up all those passages in the Doctrine of Rewards. I've given you a couple today, but there are many, many passages. And then you'll have to give an account. Well, what did you do? What did you do? Did you do what I told you to do? And if you have to say, what did you tell me to do? It's a lost cause right there. But see, the beauty about this Bible class, you know what he told you to do. You don't have the excuse, well, I didn't quite get the memo. Yeah, you kind of did. And what did you do? And so, as Paul said, in my body, for the remaining times, whether I'm alive right now or whether I'm dead, because when I'm dead, it's over. But God will be glorified, and I will press on. And, of course, we're going to study later in Philippians, he realizes he hasn't quite reached the level for the full reward yet. But by the time the ink is dried at the end of that letter, in my opinion, he's reached it. Because the book that he wrote following Philippians, which is Ephesians, that is the most concentrated book for Bible doctrine in the Word of God. That's the graduate level. That's the Doctor of Jurisprudence level. That's the highest level of advanced Bible doctrine of all the books in the Bible, is Ephesians. And so therefore, a fortiori logic, if Paul's pinning that bad boy, he's got the full reward. He's just now on God's timing for the rest of his life. And he will be released in 62. He'll be rearrested about 67. And he'll have his head cut off shortly thereafter. But when he has his head cut off, then he's fulfilled that part where he says, in my death. And the Elpis, the confident expectation, yeah, he did it. He did it. And so, again, John 8, watch yourselves, same concept, be diligent. Don't throw your Bible doctrine in the trash can, that you do not lose what we have accomplished, but that you may receive a full reward, a full reward. And that's what we were after. Now, you could say, well, what's my motivation? Well, you know your motivation has not been for rewards. I know it and you know it. We just know about the rewards. What's been your motivation in your life? Well, you just want to know. If you're honest with yourself, what's motivated you all these years? I just want to know. I want to know my Creator. I want to know why I'm here. There's got to be a reason. And now that I know what the reason is, I want to do it. I mean, that's my motivation. That's your motivation. The rewards are wonderful. In fact, you know, we're rewarded with things we didn't even know we're rewarded with. We don't appreciate them. We got them, but you don't appreciate them until you reach a certain level of spiritual maturity. Then you appreciate them. A lot of people just don't appreciate what they have. Oh, we see this all the time. People have a lot of money. They're miserable. They have all the status and whatever. They're miserable. Well, why are you miserable? If you're a believer, I know why you're miserable. It's your negative to Bible doctrine. So, yeah, you've got them. Just because you've got them doesn't mean you're going to get the full rewards at the judgment seat of Christ. You got to got them and be appreciative of them. Then that's an indication that I'm going to get something. And therefore, you can have confidence like Paul. You will get something. And of course, the goal is to get the full reward. Why not? Their head bowed, their eyes closed. Father, we thank you for the privilege of studying your holy word. We know that we glorify you in one way and one way only, and that is to take in Bible doctrine, to retain it in our souls, to pass the test that you have given us as we grow to spiritual maturity and reach spiritual maturity right under the devil's nose, and he cannot stop us. And that resolves the angelic conflict. We know that we will be subject matter expert witnesses in this trial, and we know that we will receive the full reward, that we will be faithful in this little thing, and we know that your grace propels us to the big things beyond our imagination. In Christ's name, amen.